Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's program. I'm Veronica DeVore. What would the movies be without music? It gives characters their special swagger, sweeps in during romantic moments, or gets your heart pumping during action scenes. Swiss musician Martin Tillmann and his cello have helped provide the backdrop to dozens of Hollywood blockbusters, ranging from Pirates of the Caribbean to the Batman series. His career especially took off after he developed a working relationship with movie composer Hans Zimmer. And last year, Tillmann wrote the score to a Swiss film, based on the children's tale of Shell and Ursley. But these days, Tillmann's art is more inspired by real life than the film world. He wrote his latest album, called Superhuman, for his wife Ava after she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Ava helped shape the album every step of the way, as her husband wrote it in his studio behind their Los Angeles home. Martin Tillmann recently joined me on the phone from Hollywood. I asked what it's like to compose an album for someone, and how the Hollywood film music world has changed since he got his start more than 20 years ago. What was the process like of kind of figuring out how LA works and getting established in Hollywood? What were kind of the most difficult parts of kind of breaking in?
I mean, the difficult part for me was the transition from a straight classical player to get involved into rock and roll. And you cannot just sort of take an ad out in a newspaper. At the time, there was no internet, and announce, hey, by the way, I'm going to join a band. I'm playing the cello. So somebody said to me, you need to just start from scratch. And I said, what is that? And he said, well, why don't you start as a receptionist in a recording studio? That way you get to meet producers and artists, which I did. So I got a job, and I got paid $4.58 an hour, being illegal, so I had to be paid under the table. I had to make coffee and drive people, producers, close to the dry cleaner, and did that for some really pretty incredible people. And basically what happened is in 3 years I met a whole bunch of really excellent producers, and one day David Foster, his engineer, asked me if I would play on a band named Chicago's record, which I did, and that sort of was the in for me to get started. And then sort of one thing led to another, and I got to meet more and more bands. But it took I would say about 4 or 5 years to get really involved. But yeah, it was a good time.
In terms of instruments that are popular in bands or often played in clubs or what have you, I don't always think of the cello immediately. Was that hard as well, kind of breaking in to the scene on an instrument that's maybe not, you know, it's not the guitar, it's not the drums? Or did that make it easier because it's more of a niche instrument in some ways?
It is kind of a niche instrument. And people knew about the cello, especially from the Beatles onwards, from Yellow, the Electric Light Orchestra, years prior to when I came. So it's been introduced like 20-odd years before that. But what I did differently, I sort of came into the scene, the live scene, and started improvising on the acoustic cello together with like acoustic pop bands. And we started playing coffee house shows. We were the first band who did that in L.A., and literally in the beginning, we probably played for 3-4 people. And a year later, we had like lines around the block. And we ended up on 2 big shows, Jay Leno and David Letterman. And within, I would say, about 2 months, my phone rang off the hook.
Over those years, do you feel like the role of the cello has changed in some way? I mean, not just for you, but for other people who play the instrument in Hollywood and films?
It totally did. I mean, there's many, many more really young talented cello players who also are multi-instrumentalists. So the cello has been used in way many more occasions than it used to be. And also people start rocking out and adding effects, what I did 24 years ago. And it is great to see that the cello has become sort of a part of the elements of a band. So it's no longer a kind of an odd ethnic instrument of like, ooh, there's a classical player, he has no idea what he's doing.
How is recording music for a film score different than any other sort of type of way of playing music than playing in an orchestra, for example? What is that recording process like?
Well, every session is totally different. So if you do a rock session, it's normally more about catching the vibe and feeling the song. And you have to, normally you sort of play through a whole song, and I just close my eyes and try to come up with a new part. And that's always a lot of fun and really satisfying. And for film, it can get very technical because we have way more music to record. Like when we did Batman, it's weeks and weeks and weeks of recordings. We had a movie we recorded like 13 hours a day for 59 days straight, a movie called Black Hawk Down. And it is funny because it's still music, but it's totally different approaches. And I love all of it. The experimentation in film where you have to come up with a sound, especially when I work with Hans Zimmer or my friend Harry Gregson-Williams, we shape a sound before we start recording. So sometimes that takes much more time. But it's a cool process. I love it.
How has this whole process of recording film music changed in the year since you got your start? Has it changed at all? Have the demands of the job changed?
Oh, totally. Well, I think what happens when you take away the money, things change drastically. There used to be way, way, way bigger budgets. And on a big movie, you could record 15 days every day with a full orchestra. And now the money is so tight that you probably can spend a day or two. And most of the recordings are happening are in other countries. So they're basically paying the musicians flat fees, and that's it. It's been totally outsourced. And, of course, the electronics and the sampling and all that, it's been used more and more. And so I would say for a lot of the projects now, you don't even hear real musicians anymore playing. I mean, in a lot of the scores, it's only a sample orchestral sounds, or it's sampled solo sounds. Drums and horns can all be sampled really well. So you maybe just hire one or two live players to make it sound live. From 10 years ago, my session world has dropped by probably about 80%.
What types of emotions is the cello used to get across in films? Sort of what kinds of scenes are you most often brought into to play on?
I either do horror or I do charming romantic comedies or funerals. Now, it's funny, like Hans always says, my cello is like the secret weapon. You never know when it comes and it appears. With my cello, especially the electric one, I use it in a lot of the horror and thrillers and drama, like Hannibal, I used it. It's used in Dark Knight quite scarily as well. I use it as a sort of a fun melodic instrument for the role of Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. So it goes all the way across the whole spectrum, so which is fun. Tomorrow I start recording on Pirates Caribbean 5, and in 2 weeks I'm starting to record on Ring, the horror film Ring number 3, and there I have to come up with really eerie, crazy, horrific sounds. And so it's switching hats, but that's what we do.
You've written that your goal is to extend the traditional boundaries of the cello. Can you give some specific examples, like some of the ways you've done that maybe you're most proud of?
I especially like some of the music I've done for Black Hawk Down. That was a movie which is already like 12, 13 years old. But there I could really experiment with everything I've ever think of, like using the cello almost like a duduk instrument, this Armenian wood flute, sort of a cross between a clarinet, but it's not. And it's a beautiful haunting sound. So I come up with different techniques and artificial harmonics to make this very airy sound and very ethnic. But at the same time, I had this techno beat, totally processed, looped cello rhythm in certain scenes underneath and totally distorted. And so, yeah, I'm just, you know, like any kid behind a fun toy, you experiment, and still to this day there's always a new sound, a new echo and a new reverb and a new combination of sounds you mix together. And like on my album Superhuman, which I just finished, I use all of those techniques because I wanted it to be again like a secret weapon where I use the cello, but you can't always tell, is it a cello, is it a guitar, is it, what is it? And that to me is the fun, that somebody really has to listen many times over to go like, what the hell is this instrument that I'm hearing?
I wanted to turn next to Superhuman. You wrote it, as I understand, for your wife, who's been battling multiple sclerosis. How does writing an album specifically for a person change your thought process or your composition process?
It's just a feeling at first, and maybe a feeling throughout, but you then don't really think about it. Look, the feeling came from desperation and from sadness and from the shock of the diagnosis and from her being gradually weakened over the years. And I knew I wanted to write an album which sort of helps her to feel not hopeless and to empower her with the sounds. I have a guest house where my studio is, and so Eva can hear me if I leave the door a little open, and she can send me texts and say, I love the sound you're working on right now, or the drums are maybe a little too loud. So she actually, funnily enough, helped me to produce the record. So the main goal for me really was to have something empowering, something powerful. I didn't want anything sad or melancholic. I wanted something strong and make the listener fly and have visual imagination. And also I visualized to do something for a big venue like a Hollywood Bowl or an amphitheater where you use massive and expansive sounds and make it into a basically film music without the film.
Do you think that, I mean, very broadly speaking, there are elements of your life or your upbringing in Switzerland that you bring to your work that make you unique as a Swiss musician in the States?
That's a good question. I'm probably always on time when it comes to start a session. That's one good trait. I don't think there's a specific Swissness in music. I had a home in Zurich for many, many years, and I loved the exchange. How somebody would do music on the Lake of Zurich is different than somebody in a studio in Santa Monica, and both is equally incredible. When I think of living in a place where there's not a huge industry around your music, you're freer. And what's happening sometimes in film, especially the big blockbuster, it's very cookie cutter. There's very much a framework where you have to stay within. The older I get, the more freedom I like. I think that's a part of the process.
That was Swiss cellist and composer Martin Tillmann, speaking with me about working on Hollywood film scores and writing his latest album, Superhuman. You can listen to more from Superhuman on Tillmann's SoundCloud page and read more about his work on our website, swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening, and thanks to studio technician Jakob Stoller. Tune in again next week. I'm Veronica DeVore.